Are you ready for a change? Be it physical, mental, or emotional change, you've already got what it takes to make that happen. Your host for the upcoming program, the Matt Newton Power Hour, has trained in martial arts over the course of several decades. Time and time again, his training methods have saved or extended the careers of dozens of NFL, NBA, and Major League Baseball stars. Matt Newton has authored two highly acclaimed books, A Path to Power and The D Factor. The Matt Newton Power Hour starts now. Here's Matt.
Let's do a live radio broadcast. Mac Newton, welcome back. This is the Power Hour. Another beautiful day in downtown Phoenix, Arizona. Ooh, yes. Don't be afraid to pat your foot. For those of you with enough rhythm, snap your finger and pat your foot at the same time. Oh, yeah. Can you believe it is June the 9th? Get out of town. Oh my. June the 9th. And a beautiful June 9th it is too. 100 degrees on the head today. Sunny as far as the eye can see. We don't know how long it's going to be sunny until Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. It's just going to be sunny. Hopefully it is where you are. I know it's sunny in Barcelona. I checked it out. Whoa, what is that? Yikes. That's some crazy stuff. You like that, don't you, Zach? Yeah.
I'm really liking the CD. I'm glad we chose it, sir. You chose it, sir.
Hey, we're listening to Stanley Clark. Oh. You might remember, you might know the name because of his, he's best known for his work with Return to Forever. That was a group with Chick Corea. Return to Forever. You know, last week I said something that sort of moved me over in this direction a little bit music-wise. I was talking about artists who refuse to be labeled and to, you know, put in nice little compartments in terms of what kind of music they play. They just play music. And some names immediately came to mind. Return to Forever, Stanley Clark, Stanley Jordan, George Duke, okay, guys like that, Chick Corea, Herbie Hancock, guys who are amazing American jazz musicians with tremendous backgrounds. You're gonna know, you know Stanley Clark, you just don't know that you know Stanley Clark. So I'm gonna introduce you to Stanley Clark. All right, American jazz musician of the highest order. He's the bass player. You know, it's kind of funny how he got to be the bass player. It seemed like when he was like 6 years old, he was his father wanted him to take music lessons at school, but he was running a little late. And when they were handing out the musical instruments, everything else was gone except the acoustic bass. Who wants to play the acoustic bass? Come on. Well, that's what he got. And he's so thankful for it. Okay, more stuff coming at you from about Stanley Clark and his work. You're going to hear a lot of it today. I think you're going to like it. He was born in Philly. Yeah, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And he has literally, I mean literally speaking, played with, in terms of famous band leaders and musicians in the jazz world and in the a jazz world of a world of jazz fusion, funk, R&B, names like Horace Silver, Art Blakey, Dexter Gordon, Gato Barbieri, Chick Corea, Pharoah Sanders, Gil Evans, Stan Getz. I mean, this is, I mean, he moved from just straight ahead jazz with guys like Horace Silver, Art Blakey, Dexter Gordon, and he into jazz fusion. That was led by piano player, synthesized player Chick Corea, along with George Duke. And George Duke, of course, has a master's in musical composition. And we're not talking about guys just got together in a garage, starts throwing some notes against the wall, see what sticks. We're talking about some very highly educated musicians here who leaned into mixing different musical styles together to see what else was out there. And Return to Forever turned out to be one of the most important musical groups. Led us to stuff like Earth, Wind, and Fire. Okay, you know, I mean, that's where that sort of thing came from. And now that sort of music is looked upon as almost middle of the road. That's what we're going to introduce you to. In fact, we're going to later in the show, we're going to let you hear a little bit of a collaboration between Stanley Clarke and one of his mentors, George Duke. But Stanley was born in Philadelphia, I think 1951, if my memory serves me correctly, somewhere around there. You might say his genres of music, if you want to go there, it would be jazz, jazz fusion, funk rock, pop, R&B, I mean, all of that sort of stuff. But trust me, it's just good. He scores films. I'm trying to think of some of the films that he has scored. I know that he worked with several films with Clint Eastwood. I think he did Passenger 57, I think in one of the movies with, my mind is just, stuff's running through my head so fast here. I know he worked at Boys in the Hood. He worked on and scored the biopic, of Tina Turner, What's Love Got to Do With It. He scored that movie. Poetic Justice with Janis Jackson and Tupac Shakur. It's coming out pretty good right now, isn't it? Not bad, eh? But anyway, this guy is... and still outworking. In fact, if you're a fan of the Transporter series with Jason Statham, whatever, you know, the martial arts guy, if you're a fan of his, then of the Transporter, you know, you listen to the music, got into it, Stanley Clarke. Okay, all right. So anyway, there you go. A little bit of a background on Stanley. Well, Stanley Clarke. More coming on him. Hey, GA. You didn't know this was going to happen to you, did you? That you're going to be checking out folks like Stanley Clarke and enjoying it and loving the music. Hey, gang, I'm Mac Newton. This is the Power Hour. It is now exactly 6 minutes past the hour. We've gotten off to a good start to the show today. Great show. Not good. Great show on tap for you guys today. I am fired up and ready to go. Just an idea of what's coming on. My early segment's going to all be about a defining moment. I think y'all might relate to that. And our main topic will be part 3 of how to control your mental life. And we also want to welcome, of course, as we always do, behind the glass, making everything work, making all the pops and goals go away, and making my voice sounds like it's, you know, like it's a radio voice. And that's what the magic man does. What's up?
What's going on, Mac?
You got it. Hey. And, of course, sitting in her customary chair, making everybody in the studio look good, just you know, radiating in the reflected glamour and charm and beauty of the fabulous Natasha. What's up, darling?
Oh, thank you. Nice to be here.
How you do it?
Oh, boy. I'm blushing now. So many compliments.
I'm sure you can handle it. You know, yesterday she's watching Phantom of the Opera, and she's just loving that song, and she was just singing along with it. You know, the Phantom of the Opera, have you seen a televised version of that, Zach?
I mean, it's been so long. I believe I actually did go to the theater, but...
Well, you know,
I was a child.
It is a gorgeous production. In the movie, I mean, it was magnificent. The cinematography, the color, the costumes. I mean, if this thing didn't win several Academy Awards, then whoever won, I don't know, it had to be earth-shattering. If Phantom of the Opera didn't win for a motion picture, because it was phenomenal. But the stage play is just outrageous. And if you're going to go see it in...
Las
Vegas, you know,
great production.
And don't be so cheap. Get down on the main floor. Ask for seats underneath the chandelier. You'll be in for a special treat. Yeah. And of course, joining us in our studio audience is A-Bomb. There you go. Hey, A-Bomb. You know what? We finally heard from Chris. He says he's going to join you in the studio audience here one day, and we're going to have a room full of people here pretty soon. You know, welcome to the show, A-Bomb.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. My pleasure. Okay, there you go. Whew, boy, I feel like I've done a show already. Right now, it's time for, at 10 minutes past the hour, you know what it's time for, shout-outs. Yeah, it is. Whoa, my goodness gracious. Whole bunches of those bad boys. Let's start out with some of our oldies but goodies today we've heard from this week. How about Alfredo down in Mexico and Andy in Spain? What up? Yes. Wow. Al down in South FLA. Nice to see your name. Kurt in the UK. Always a pleasure. Veronica G in the Philippines giving me a nudge. You know I like that. Larry and Kimmy. Right here in the valley. DZ, up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. What's the weather up like that right now? Probably the snow has melted, okay? But I did hear a couple of days ago it was snowing in Northern California. Yeah, that was on TV. There are people putting, tire trains. Never mind. They were putting something on their tires where they couldn't slide down the road. Okay.
Safety equipment.
There you go. Safety equipment. They were putting tire chains on their on their trucks and vehicles to be allowed to drive on the interstates. A lot of snow. It's June, for goodness sakes. All right. Nick and all the gang in Denver, Colorado. All of my extended family up there. Barry and all the Taekwondo boys up in Chicago getting it on. Chris and Nick right here in Phoenix. And I think earlier this week, I think it was Chris. Let me see if I can kick over here on the computer. I love these computers, man. I love just being able to click over there, make you guys think I know what I'm talking about. But and Nick sent me a little message on Facebook. I guess it was a couple of days ago. He says, just did an online workout and I feel amazing. Way to go, Chris. I mean, way to go, Nick. Well, I know Nick's doing it, but he brought us. How cool is that? How cool is that? You know, just a personal note here for you. You know, Chris came to work out with me, I don't know, a year ago, year and a half, some time ago. And see, I'm in the health business, so my class is not just made up of exercises. It's made up of mental, emotional, spiritual push-ups. Yeah, we do mental push-ups. We do spiritual push-ups. We do emotional crunches. So we're working your mind, body, and soul in this class. And Chris was taking it home and sharing it with his son. What a cool thing that is. This gives this kid a chance, man. It gives Chris a chance because right now, unless kids today have strong leadership, they don't have a chance. They don't have a chance. And I think Nick is getting ready for high school. If he's not in high school already, I'm not sure. So don't go. I know how kids, when you're around, you know, 12, 13, 14, you know, if he's in high school already and I said he wasn't there, I'm in high school. What are you talking about? You don't know what you're talking about.
And it's like 1 year different.
Exactly. Anyway, Nick, he'll be there when you get there. Don't worry about it. Trust me on that. But anyway, congratulations that your dad thought enough of you to introduce you to this sort of thing, which is not always popular, and you're just grabbing hold to it. It will serve you well as time goes by. And also, thank you, Dwayne, for your email, your message. I've not had the opportunity to meet Dwayne, but he's a listener, and just sent me an email, and I have to share it because it was so kind of compelling. It was just a few words. He says, Mac, you are a hero. And I was really moved by that, and I have no idea what he might be referring to, but he does. So glad I could be a hero to you, because I've had a lot of people who are heroes to me and have helped me get down that path. And isn't that our role, is to pass on the things that we've learned and to share? That's what we've got. That's what our responsibility is. All right. And of course, finishing up with our shout outs, of course, Andy in Spain, Al in South FLA, and of course, G-A-N-G-A. There you have it. All right, gang, here it is now, about 14 minutes past the hour, coming to the end of our first segment. And we've got, like I said, a great show on tap for you. Right after the break, we're going to come back and get into our early segment. All right? But right now, we got a little bit more of Stanley Clark. All right? Stanley Clark. One of the things that he did when he plays bass guitar, Stanley Clark, he places his right hand on the guitar so that his fingers approach the strings much as they would on an upright bass, but rotate it through 90 degrees. Okay? So to achieve this, his forearm lies above and nearly parallel to the strings. And his wrist is just kind of, bam, cocked down real sharp. And right now, he's able to do things that other people can't do. I don't know if you remember Larry Graham, who created that real funky slap and pop technique for bass. You remember that? You remember that, Zach? You know that slap and pop? You know that?
I feel like we had him on the show maybe a while ago.
You know, where they take their thumb and they just kind of pop the bass like that, and it creates a real funky sound.
Yeah, definitely a slap bass.
Yes, yes. So he always so Stanley Clark uses that sometimes, but he also uses kind of that since his hand is built, he uses his fingers, and so he just goes down real hard, and he can hit two and three strings at the same time, creates a real unique sound that as soon as you hear it, you know it's Stanley Clark. So anyway. Stanley Clark, our musical guest host, and it's certainly a shout out to Stanley for being our musical guest host today. My name's Mac Newton, the Magic Man is in sitting with us, and of course, the fabulous Natasha. Are you going to sing for us something today, Natasha? Are you from maybe the Phantom of the Opera, perhaps?
Sure.
Well, she's thinking about it. Let's see what happens, okay? And of course, A-Bomb too. I'm the Mac Daddy. You guys stay where you are. We will be right back. Hi gang, I'm Mac Newton. I want to remind you of something that's kind of cool. You know, on YouTube, they have this program now where they will create actually channels for people who love to upload videos, which I am one. We've got probably 20 videos uploaded right now on YouTube, and they're all about things that I've done in the past. Might be interesting to you as listeners of the Power Hour. We've got all kind of old Power Hour shows that are uploaded. Yeah, shows where the Power Hour was on television, where I'm talking about the 3-2 eating plan, and we've got demonstrations of self-defense and kids on, and all kind of interviews with musicians and a lot of famous people, all uploaded there on YouTube. And here's what is something special. I've got a free Minimax 7-minute workout for you, a complete total body workout that's available for you on YouTube free. Log on youtube.com. Put in the name Mac Newton, okay, or Mac Newton Channel, and you'll go right there. I'm going to ask you to do me a favor when you go there, gang. I want you to subscribe to my channel. This is going to allow me later on to become partners with YouTube, and sooner or later, maybe then I'll be able to get even my online workouts out there more than ever before. And speaking of my online workouts, they are doing great. You guys are loving it, and we're making changes based on the things you suggest. And in fact, this free workout is one of the things you've suggested. We got more coming. So log on to YouTube and check out all of these videos, all kinds of stuff. Going back when I had long hair. You want to see that? I know you do. Okay, gang. Hey, we'll see you soon. In the first segment, we were bringing you some cuts from Stanley Clarke's East River Drive CD. But I told you that George Duke, one of his mentors, especially in the area of jazz fusion, jazz pop. Ooh. So I went and found a little something with George Duke and Stanley Clarke together. Yes, it is. Get it on. So you got George Duke on piano and Stanley Clarke now on electric bass. This is a bad boy right here. Yes. Now, Zach was saying, that's got almost as much funk as Funkadelics. That's a hold on. Slow your roll, my man. Sounds good, but not quite. You might remember the Showtime Network program called Soul Food. Stanley Clarke did all the music for Soul Food. Yes. You know, the Five Heartbeats, Boys in the Hood, A Man Called Hawk. Wasn't on very long. There you go. Yeah. Okay, I just like to listen to this. Hey, gang, welcome back. I'm Mac Newton, and this is the Power Hour. And it's a beautiful sunny day in downtown Phoenix, Arizona. A lot of good stuff going to come at you, and you, I know you're grooving with a little Stanley Clarke and George Duke now. Gee, I'm just giving you all kind of stuff, aren't I, huh? Yeah, it's more stuff than you can handle. Yeah, East River Drive, the name of the CD. You will like it. You do like it, and you need that in your musical collection. And don't just try to download a song. Buy the CD. Everybody appreciates it, and so will you. You'll have that. Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay, there you have it. All right, gang, 18 minutes past the hour now. Beautiful sunny day in Phoenix, Arizona. Hope it's nice where you are. You know, on our time that we normally spend on an update today, I'm going to go someplace. I'm always positive. This may not sound like it is, but okay, take it for what it is. Last week I was talking about, and I got several emails, you know, about the Ohio State situation with Coach Jim Tressel, who I mistakenly said Tressler. I apologize for that. Jim Tressel. And I made the statement that I foresee at this point with all the revelations just never-endingly coming out every day. I didn't see Tyrell Pryor coming back as the quarterback at all. And I guess a couple of days ago, he did, in fact, announce that he was not coming back, that he was leaving Ohio State, and we're not sure what he's going to do, but he's not coming back. I also made a statement that the athletic director, a very nice guy who I met when he was here in Phoenix, Gene Smith, as the athletic director for ASU, I don't think he's coming back either. And I think the odds on the president of the university probably is something like 80-20, in my estimation, that it will not be back. In order for a university like Ohio State to recruit the kind of players and families, because that's what they're doing, they're recruiting families, communities, they have to know that everyone associated with that program is going toward not only wins, but education and living the life that they teach. And as time has gone on over the last few weeks, every day that seems to be more and more coming out where the coach had not just a few emails, but dozens, hundreds with other associated parties in this mess. So he couldn't say that he was either didn't know about it or that he was trying to protect the players. There's only thing, one thing he was trying to protect now, that's wins. And that's not good enough. That's why I think all these people will go. I really do. It's all about character, gang. It's about character. You know, let's step back just a little bit and go back about 8 months, 9 months ago here to the Power Hour when I was talking about another celebrity in the spotlight who was going through some hard times, and that's Tiger Woods. I said at the time, I thought that unless we see Tiger step away from the game entirely and change from the inside out, that I did not think we would see the Tiger Woods that you have come to know over the last few years ever again. At this point in Tiger's life, it's not about golf. At this point in his life, it's about a person named Tiger Woods, a person who has come to represent in the public domain, a person of discipline, commitment, strength, a very compelling figure on many scales. But for him to be able to live up to that and fulfill the possibility that the possibilities that existed in him, that his father and mother saw in him, he's going to have to really, really search deep inside of himself and become someone else. I said last night in class, A-Bomb, you may have remembered it. You may remember. I said that change has to come from the inside out. I said it's not so much what lies behind you or what lies in front of you, but what lies inside of you. And those possibilities. I also said, if you recall, I said to those whom much is given, much is also expected of them. And you can't complain when those expectations are made, because much has been given to you. It only stands to reason that much will be expected from you. Much is expected from Tiger Woods. He was given a tremendous talent and then the additional benefit of leadership and teaching. Much is expected. I said then, unless he backs away, and this is going to tie into my early segment, unless he backs away from the limelight and moves into an area where he can change in from the inside out, unless he puts that old Tiger Woods in the rearview mirror, the possibility of him fulfilling his possibilities are slim and none. And I said it then, 6 to 9 months ago. And now, that a few days ago, he announced he would not be competing, or starting today, I guess, at the U.S. Open because of lingering issues with his knee and Achilles tendon. Well, you know what? I can tell you from experience that our physical emotional cells are very, very, very closely intertwined. And when we are emotionally disturbed, it's going to be very, very difficult for us to be healthy spiritually, emotionally, or any other way. And it's going to be very hard for Tiger to rehabilitate from a physical perspective until he changes internally. Not what someone else expects, not for me or you, but for him and his potential, his possibilities, right? So because and so much of what we as sports fans look for and are so frequently disappointed, we love watching the performances, but we also want to be inspired by the gains that our sports figures make off the field as well. That's why when we look at people like Lou Gehrig, the former Yankee, who was called the Iron Man, I believe, and for years held the record for playing the most consecutive games, who died of a disease that was crippling. In fact, the disease was named for him, Lou Gehrig's disease. And the class he showed as he stood in front of the microphone, barely able to speak and walk, crippled by this disease, and he said, I am the luckiest man in the world. To show such class and humility and bravery and courage in the face of this disease. We want to be inspired by our sports heroes. Not just by the things they do on the field. We want to see them overcome. We want to see Tiger Woods succeed. We want that. We want to see him go and build and change himself from the inside out. And we want to see him come back and win tournaments. We want to see that. I know we do. So that we can cheer not just a victory over the golf course, but the victory over fear and doubt. Yeah, that's what we want to see. That's what we want to see as sports fans. That's what it is. And until Tiger's willing to do that, we're not going to have the opportunity to see that. We're just not. Okay, about 27 minutes past the hour now. Again, we're going to get started I think what we'll do is take our break and get started on that right after with defining moment, because I don't want to have to stop that. So we're going to take our break just a little bit early today. So stay where you are. I'm Mac Newton. This is the Power Hour. Zach Geis is making it all happen. The fabulous Natasha. We got just a minute. Natasha. Yes. Natasha. One of the things that when you listen to these, and Natasha loves listening to musicals and stage plays like Chicago, and what are some of your other favorites?
Chicago, Phantom of the Opera.
Yes.
Well, I like lots of musicals like Cats and West Side Story.
Yeah.
I've seen lots of plays.
Well, because you know that's her life. I mean, you know, as she grew up and. She got a job singing professionally with the
Don Kazakhs.
Don Kazakhs in Russia.
True, Don Kazakhs.
Don Kazakhs in Russia. And the next thing you know, she's traveling the world. She was obviously here in America, traveling around different countries, singing and performing these Russian folk musicals, correct?
True.
Yeah. Now, but you know what? We've never had a chance, maybe until today, to hear a little bit of this voice that I heard it. I mean, she's only about 5'4". She's just a little small in stature. But, and I know you love, because I know you love singing something. So are you going to sing a little bit of Phantom from the Opera for us?
Sure.
Okay.
I can do a little bit.
There you go. Wow. Yeah. You know what? We cannot be disappointed. We can't be.
You have brought me to the point when words run dry, to the point when speech disappears into silence. Silence. I have come here hardly knowing the reason why. In my mind I already imagine our bodies entwining, defenseless and silent. Now I am here with you, no second thoughts. I've decided decided past the point of no return, no going back now. Our passion game has now at last begun. When will the blood begin to rose? A sleeping bud burst into bloom. When will the flame at last consume us? Past the point of no return, the final crash halt. The bridges cross, so stand and watch them burn. We've passed the point of no return.
All right. Oh, yeah. That's awesome. Wow. Hey, surprised you, didn't you, Zach?
Huh? That was powerful. That's a set of pipes in there. Yeah.
Oh, you haven't even heard. She was holding down.
Oh, I know. I bet.
That was like that Maserati there. She was only going at about 25-30 miles an hour. You see that, A-Bob? That was fabulous.
It was a little bit shaky, but thank you.
Yeah. All right. No, great job. All right. Hey, gang, you guys stay where you are? Okay, got a chance to hear the fabulous Natasha sing. We will be right back. Let a little bit more of Stanley Clark take us to break. We'll be right back. It's the Power Hour. I'm Mac Newton.
Hi everyone, this is Zach Geist, also known as the Magic Man. The Power Hour is brought to you by Newton Fitness Online, the same high conditioning and training that Mac Newton provides in his beautiful Central Phoenix, Arizona location is now available to you online, 24 hours a day. It couldn't be easier. Just log on to MacNewton.com and go to Mac's gym. Yep, his gym is online now. Just go and select your fitness level and go to class. Okay, don't put it off. Go to MacNewton.com now, check it out, and get in the best shape of your life.
Hey gang, I'm Mac Newton. I want to give you a little bit of an update on what's going on with our championship level goal setting program. It is taking off like a rocket ship. Now, I realize I don't have a place online where you can order it. However, you can call my office and speak to Lisa, 602-957-6492, and you can reserve your copy of Championship Level Goal Setting, which will give you a 2-CD program along with a workbook. The CDs will guide you through the voice with you and members of your team, either in your office or in family, through the entire Championship Level Goal Setting program. It is amazing. As a matter of fact, pretty soon, Blair and I will be embarking on a tour where we're going to be demonstrating this live and in person. So if you see us coming to your area, be sure and jump on board. The Championship Level Goal Setting Program is now available. We've been talking about it online. You've been hearing about it on Facebook. Now is your chance to get your copy, all right? So call 602-957-6492 and reserve yours right now. Temporarily, copies are limited, so jump in and make sure you are not left behind. Hey gang, welcome back. Whoo! what a show we got. 33 minutes past the hour. A beautiful sunny afternoon in downtown Phoenix, Arizona. A little bit more Stanley Clark and George Duke for you. You know, they call this jazz fusion, okay? In other words, jazz that's fused with a little R&B, a little funk rock, whatever you want to fuse it with. I mean, now they fuse jazz with rap and with soul music, and it's pretty cool, you know? Like I said last week, what do I call it, Zach?
It's just music.
That's what I, exactly. It's just music. Okay, so whatever.
I could be wrong, actually, because I've never heard the real version, but this little keyboard part almost reminds me of the theme song of Taxi, because I heard this remix, actually, where they loop that over. It sounds like a real version of it, but that old show.
I know exactly what you're talking about, and I think that George Duke may have been the piano player on Taxi.
Yeah, that's what I was almost
so,
thinking.
But so you're going to see some similarities. I'm gonna double check that. I'm not going to say he was for sure, but I think I do recall that. So we'll see, exactly. But anyway, Stanley Clark, go out and buy the CD, all right? There you go. Okay, how was that for a treat, huh? The fabulous Natasha. So were you nervous singing on the radio show, huh?
I guess I was.
Well, I tell you what, I mean, and I really meant it when I said that, you know, because I've had the, you know, benefit of, you know, listening to you sing as you walk around the house and listening, you know, you hear something you really like, especially with Phantom of the Opera. I couldn't tell when the people, I was, you know, that little thing I've got to play in my ear, where that little thing you told me about where I can put the headphones on and listen to myself play guitar. So I was playing guitar and she's over watching Phantom of the Opera, and I'm playing every time I would take the earphones off. I couldn't tell whether it was the TV or whether it was Natasha singing.
Well, the music helps. Yeah. If you have music on the background, that helps much better.
Oh, well, you're singing an a cappella in your second language. How about that? Wow. All right, gang. Talent's everywhere. Everyone's got it.
You're on the spot, and you delivered. Sure. Hit it out of the park.
Home run. No doubt about it. So, okay, let's get into my early segment, even though it's not early. It's still going to be my segment.
Well, it's your segment.
I do what I want to do with it. That's right. It's my segment. Do what I want to do with it. All right. For those of you who are friends of mine on Facebook, this segment will have a little bit of a familiar sound to it, because I sort of blogged on it yesterday. I was 43 years old. My first artificial hip was 1 year old and not working very well. I had no car. I had no money. I was deeply in debt. My business had failed again. And at this moment, I was face down in a gutter on 32nd and Campbell in a torrential downpour. That was my turning point. What is a turning point? Defining moment, a moment where you say, I don't want to live like that anymore. I don't want to do that anymore. You know, there are two ways to look at being face down in a gutter. You can look at it figuratively, where you're saying, in essence, that I've come to the end of my rope. I'm in a bad place. Oh, that wasn't it. I was literally face down in a gutter, which means in reality, in a gutter, on your face. Yeah. What brought me to that moment? How did I get there? It wasn't just that rainstorm. It wasn't just that rain grate I didn't see because the water was too deep that my tire went into and threw me over the handlebar and hit my head on the curb, dislocated my shoulder. As I lay there, watching the blood drop from the cut in my forehead in the water under the streetlight. Looking up, turning my head, and seeing the cars 6 feet from my head. Seeing the faces of the people behind the wheel. As they looked at me, they saw me. I mean, it was like a part of me, part of them wanted me to stop and check on me, and then another part of me didn't. I just lay there. I just lay there, and I just thought, what were the little peewees, the little kids, ages 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, what would they think? Because you know what, they always thought I could walk on water. You know, Mr. Newton kicks basketball rims, jumps over, you know, people, kick breaking boards with his fingertips, doesn't matter. What would they think of me now if they could see me? That's what I thought. How did I get there? It was just a continuing stream of irresponsible actions, irresponsible behavior, bad choices. The belief that somehow life was going to somehow not hold me accountable, that somehow things were going to just work out. It's going to change. Someone was going to save me. I guess that's what I thought. I don't know what. Every successful person that I've ever known had a turning point. You know, where they just say they're not going to live like that anymore. Not going to. It's just a decision. But it's a little bit of a different decision. It's a cold-blooded decision. It's made clear-headed and without emotion. I'm not going to live like this anymore. Some people make it when they're 20. Some people make it when they're 15. Some people make it when they're 30. Some people make it, well, like me, when I was 43 in a gutter. Some people make it when they're 50. Some don't ever make it. That's what I thought about as I laid there. What does my mother think of that as she looks down upon me? What does she think about me? Was it worth it? All she did to create a life for me? And this is how I end up. Yeah. That was my turning point. That was my defining moment. The moment, okay, that's it. That's it. Just enough of this crap, you know, just enough of it. Not going to live like this anymore. I'm not going to do it. Either I'm going to not live at all, or I'm going to change this. This is it. It's done. Not doing this anymore. Yeah. That's it. And it was at that moment that I finally stood up. Walked over to the building, grabbed two brick columns, and walked forward until my shoulder popped in a joint. No sound from me. Just, it's a fact. I walked over, picked up my bike. Wheel was bent, couldn't ride it. Put it on the other shoulder. Start walking up the hill to my little one bedroom. Not even one bedroom, it's like a little room with things off to the side. Basement. But you know, here's the thing, even after you make that decision. It's not like the movies, gang. It's not like the movies where all of a sudden you're wearing nice clothes and the weather is beautiful and, you know, and everything changes. It's not like that. It's not like that. You make that decision and it's like the universe says, oh, okay, I hear you. You're going to change your life, huh? From the inside out, you're going to change your life. Great. Glad to hear it. Now here, deal with this. As it throws you something else. Doesn't change right away. That little teeny house, a little teeny, not house, little teeny apartment I had, almost lost. Oh, I did lose it. Sandy Alomar Jr., baseball player, played with the Padres and Cleveland Indians for years. I trained him for one thing. I ran into him, and he helped me move into a storage unit. He says, Mac, where are you going to be living? Where are you going to stay? I told him that I was going to stay in, you know, with a friend. You know, I tell you something, gang. Your fears and your insecurity just makes liars of us all, doesn't it? Just makes liars out of us. Our doubts, our fear, you know, we just say things to protect our ego. I couldn't let him think I didn't have a place to live. Oh, don't worry, I got a place to stay. The next 9 months, we're living on the streets of Phoenix. Yeah. At 43 years of age. Homeless. But I'd made my decision. The decision was made. It would never, ever go back. So I put that story right there into 220 characters on Facebook yesterday. My last word was, when, with a question mark, saying, when was yours? Or when are you going to make your defining moment? I had no idea it would strike such a chord with so many people. But one of the ones that really struck home was one of a comment that came from a fellow by the name of Jeff Heineman. Jeff Heineman owned a little strip center right down the street from where we are right now. And I was able to somehow finally lease a place in there with literally no money. And he says, comment, he says, Mac, I had the privilege of going through some of those tough times by your side. You're an amazing man, and I have the utmost respect for you. Well, Jeff, it's mutual. He says that because he knows I never looked back. There were times when my clients would bring me checks to pay for their memberships, and I would just endorse them and walk them down to his office and give them to him. Still didn't have a car. Either rode my bike or walked every day. With my hip, some days it worked and some days it didn't. Because there was no manual for me to follow to make this hip ready to do Taekwondo. I was following no guide. And some of the things I did weren't good. It was a tough time. Sometimes I got behind as far as 3 months in my rent, but Jeff never wavered. He says, and later on I would ask him, how come you didn't get worried? He says, I knew you. But you know what? The guy that Jeff knew was not the guy that existed before the defining moment. Those are two entirely different people. People say to me sometimes, Mac, I can't imagine you being irresponsible and haven't you ever seen an actor in a movie play a priest very believingly? And then the next time you see him, he's playing a bank robber or a killer. And you believed him in both roles. Oh, if you'd met me back then, you'd have no trouble understanding I was not the good guy. But I changed from the inside out. One of the things I said to you at the beginning, I said I was deeply in debt. Oh, I owed lots of money. It took me from 1988 to 1992 to repay every cent, and I mean every cent. At one time I owed, one of the creditors was American Express. And I owed them several thousand dollars. I had used their car to kind of run my business for a while till they until they close my account, start demanding money. Of course, my way of dealing with those demands were to rip up the papers and throw them away. So they sold it to a collection company. I didn't care. I ripped those up, tore them away too. I figured, what you going to do to me? You can't get blood from a termite. I got nothing. And so finally, it went away too, I guess, into wherever it goes. And then came my defining moment. I didn't change on the outside. That change has to come from the inside to the outside. You have to become that person on the inside so strongly that it forces the appearance of that person on the outside. I had to repay every dime. I went to American Express. They said, well, you don't have an account here. I said, but I did. Well, we sold that. Well, how much money did you get for it? Well, nothing. Of course not, because I didn't pay it. I want to pay it. I want to pay it right now. Well, I can't have all of it, but I'm going to give you some of it. Well, you don't have an account. If you don't have an account, you can't pay the bill. I thought, how stupid is that? I can't get an account because I got credit that's like below zero. Isn't that something? I had to get to someone who's going to do something differently over there. Let me pay this bill. All I want to do is pay the bill. I would not. No. Going to pay the bill, if I have to send it to you and leave it there, I'm going to pay the bill. No strings, nothing hanging loose. When you change, change forever. Change inside to the outside. One face. Not two faces, not three, one face. It was hard for several years. By 1992, I repaid every dime, every cent. I repaid it. And when it comes, when it changes, when it finds, it might seem like forever, gang. It might seem like it's going to take forever for you to change and become a different person. But if you never relent, you never, ever relent. All right. Over my left shoulder here, there are some plaques on the wall that talk about my career in Taekwondo. I don't have all of them there. I've got most of my certificates. I don't know where my fourth degree certificate is. But anyway, my first degree certificate, the very first one, is number 8,163. 8,163. That's my student number. There were that year, and you know, at least when I was got my first degree black belt, there were another 8,163 promoted that year. Well, 162, I was 163. By the time I tested for fourth degree in 1979, the number of my certificate is 213. A whole lot of first degrees didn't make it through second and third degree. By 1994, by the time I tested for my seventh degree with Grandmaster Park Jung Tae, my number now is 15. By 2006, when I was promoted to eighth degree black belt, that year for eighth degree as an American, the number is A for American dash 8 for eighth degree dash 1. Now, the point here again is that during that time, I had more than 10 major operations, including two hip replacement surgeries, a distal femoral osteotomy on my right knee. I had my leg straightened out. I can't even enumerate the number. I had all kinds of opportunities to get out of line, to stop, to not continue on, but I did not stop. You keep going. And you will be rewarded. And when you be rewarded, you will be rewarded in spades. For all that struggle, it's all going to balance out. Because when it starts coming your way, it starts coming your way really fast. And a lot of people are caught off guard because all of a sudden their entire world changes. I'm talking about from a financial perspective. All of a sudden they got more money than they know what to do with. All of a sudden they got more recognition perhaps. I mean, it's like the first time I stood on stage after I'd given a speech and I had visualized getting a standing ovation. And I'm standing in Salt Lake City, Utah, in front of 2,200 people with several of my clients in attendance. And I'd visualized getting that standing ovation. And I had done the talk of my life. And 2,000 people stood up as one and gave me a standing ovation. But I wasn't ready for it. All of a sudden, this standing ovation was pouring down on me. And I didn't like myself enough to accept it. It's like I had to just leave the stage. It's like I couldn't get off fast enough. It's like it was raining acid upon me. You got to prepare yourself for what's coming, because it is going to come. When you change from the inside out, it is going to come. When you make the decision to not live like that anymore, and the key word there is decision. I'm not going to live like that anymore. I'm not going to live like that anymore. They make up their mind to be successful. As I said before, a very clear, non-emotional decision, and you don't get out of line. You don't vary. You don't hesitate. You move steadfastly forward from that point on, no matter what. Through surgeries, through illnesses, through doubt, through fear, through everything, through you name it, you move through it. You keep on going. You don't stop. You don't give up. You don't hesitate. You don't doubt yourself. You keep moving. You understand what I'm saying? You keep moving. And you will be rewarded. It will come your way. You will be rewarded. You know, we were talking last week about affirmations. I believe that to be true.
That's true.
We were talking about affirmations. As the second technique of mental programming, I discuss with you that it's based on the principle of the three P's. Zach, you remember what they were? The three P's?
I do.
Oh, okay. That must be the female Zach. Zach, you're showing your female side here now. Sounds a little differently. She's saying today, and she's feeling good.
Personal, present tense, and positive.
You're absolutely correct. Personal, that means first person singular, I am, I can, I will. Positive, present tense, and personal. These are strong statements and commands to your conscious mind, from your conscious mind to your subconscious mind. They override old, outdated, negative, limiting information, and it reinforces and builds a foundation of new positive habits of thought and behavior. The affirmation, I like myself, is positive. It is present tense. It is personal. And when you repeat it continually, as if it will eventually be accepted as a description of a reality you not only desire, not only deserve, but already exists in your life. I like myself, not I will. You never say something like, I'm not going to smoke anymore. Not only is that a negative statement, it's stated in a future tense. So a lot of people are thinking they know how to make affirmations. They don't know how to do it. it's got to be couched in three P's. So you would say, I am a non-smoker. You don't say, starting next week, I'm not going to eat gummy bears anymore. No. Not only is it a negative statement, it's stated in the future tense. What you say is, I only eat foods consistent with a trim, healthy body. Bam, done, deal, zip, zap. Closed up, jam up, jelly tight, done. See, your subconscious mind is a very literal entity. Very literal. And the simpler the command, the better. The more impact it's going to have on your thinking. That's why I like to say I like myself. And so back at the beginning, I always said, I like myself. I can do it. I am responsible. I said that all the time. That's what I want you to say. When you have this defining moment, when you say, not going to live like that anymore, you got to back it up with, I like myself. 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 And then you got to visualize you doing things that you would do if you liked yourself. I am responsible. I am responsible. I am responsible. I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. Because all of our change has to come, as I said before, from the inner to the outer. All change begins and changes to your self-concept. You can't outperform it. You can't outrun it. You must behave in a manner consistent with it, or you're going to go insane. You must become the person that you want to be on the inside before you will see the appearance of this person on the outside. So, what do I say today after I've changed, after 1988 when this happened, and in 1994 I bought my first Mercedes? Yeah, you check it out. Check it out. From 1988, I went from having a bicycle laying on the corner of 32nd and Campbell, didn't have a house, or pardon the expression, as they say, a pot to piss in, you know? Didn't have that. Didn't have two nickels to rub back to back. Okay? No, didn't have that. Barely had my health. But those three words, I like myself, followed by another three words, I am responsible. I like myself. I am responsible. I can do it. I like myself. I can do it. I am responsible. I like myself. I can do it. And visualize it in setting goals. All of a sudden, my life started changing. I paid back every cent I owed, ran away from nothing, looked every fear in the eye. Anything you can't look in the eye will defeat you. You must look it in the eye. You can't turn your head. You can't pretend it's not there. You must not do that. It will defeat you. You must look it in the eye. You must be able to say, you are done. You're only here for a little while. You're done. That's over. I'm not living this way anymore. You can come back at me as many times as you want. You can change your costumes. You can look any way you want to. You can change the consequences. You don't have a chance. You're dead. You don't have anything I can't handle. You know why? I just said so. And you know how I know that's true? Because I know it's true. Because I've done it, been there. And that's the only reason I'm telling you, because I know it's true. So this is what I say today. I believe in the perfect outcome of this situation. That's what I say. I don't care what I'm facing. I believe in the perfect outcome of this situation. Bring something to me. It doesn't matter. Who's better at being me than me? As long as I remain being me, I'm good to go. The moment I try to be someone else, the moment I let fear or doubt change me into somebody or something else, I'm in trouble. It's not going to happen. I believe this is the perfect affirmation. Once you've got a real good grasp and you brought these other three into your life. And see, then I started working on, once I got into, I like myself and I am responsible and I can do it. Then I started working on other elements of my personality. I am patient, because patience is a primary element of goal setting. If you're not patient, you're not going to be able to persevere through the hard times, because the universe is going to come after you, man. It's going to come after you with both fists balled up. You might say, well, I thought you told me it was going to help me out. Yes, once you've proven worthy. I told you what it's going to do. Oh, you want to change your life? Is that what you want, Zach? You want to change your life? Here, take this mess. Bam. You want to change your life? You want to change your life, A-bomb? Here, take this catastrophe. Deal with this one. And as soon as you get this one, a hold on that one, you know what you're going to do? He's going to say, take this one, throw another one at you, just to make sure you think you got a handle on something.
It's always darkest before dawn.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? Just before you get it, it's just like a, you ever go to 4th of July and you see the fireworks display? They have fireworks going off, but right before the end, it's like a big blast of fireworks. That's exactly what happens. That's what resistance does to you right before you're ready to beat it, right before you're ready to crush it, right before you're ready to win. It comes after you with everything. Everything has got everything. You got to fight back. You got to look it in the eye and go, you got no chance. You got to laugh at it. You got to say, you think you got something for me? You got nothing for me. Is that all you got? Is that it? Is that it? If that's all you got, you're done. If that's it, you better have something else up your sleeve. You better, because you're done. That affirmation, I believe in the perfect outcome of this situation. 3 minutes before the hour game. We may make it, and we may not. It makes me feel calm, very positive, in the midst of whatever it is. And going back to that time I was sitting in the gutter, that was the very first time in my life that I ever said that I allowed myself to be in the midst of my own disasters. It allowed me to be in the middle of something that I created that was a mess. I was always trying to move away from that mess, blame it on this or that. Well, that was this. It's not my fault. That's the first time I actually sat there and said, okay, this is where I'm at. How did I get here? It's the first time I actually accepted my own disaster that I created for me. I think it's important. We've got to be willing to stand in the midst of that and say, this is who I am and where I'm at right now. And with that, we can get the power to move away from there if you don't want to live like that anymore. Not only does it make me feel calm and positive, but it's a perfect antidote to worry. See, I don't ever worry. I never worry about anything. You probably noticed that about me, haven't you, Bob? I don't ever worry about anything. I don't ever worry. I don't. It's also a very simple, clear affirmation. It's in the present tense. And your subconscious is going to respond to this type of command. And it's going to create mental pictures. It's going to feed back to you the behavior, the words, even your gestures that are consistent with these statements, these commands that you've given it, because it thinks that already exists. And it's going to create in you all the things you need to continue to be that way. Stay with me here, you see? That's what it is. That's exactly what it is. Okay, I call it telling the truth in advance. That's how you convince your subconscious mind that condition that you desire already is there. It then makes whatever changes are necessary inside and outside to align your inner world with that outer world. All right. Whew. Good God. Whew, I told you we had a great show. And did we ever, from Stanley Clark to the fabulous Natasha singing for us, Zach working his magic as he always does. I tell you. And me having fun. Now I gotta go out to the back of the building and turn on the hose and hose myself down.
I'll help you.
Okay. All right, gang. As we always do at this time, I'm going to say be good to yourself. You know, treat those who are close to you and like you and love you and depend upon you. Give them your best. Be true to you. You make your words and your behaviors match. And as usual, thanks to Bob A., Bob Adlock, Pat McMahon, my mentor, JC, JB, brother, we still miss you, man. Been gone for a while, but your spirit lingers on. Okay, Zach, making everything happen behind the glass. And, of course, the fabulous Natasha, extra fabulous today. A little extra something for the girl. Yes, sir. Yeah, a little extra something for her. Outstanding, baby girl. Boy, I can see her head getting bigger. We got to get her some bigger headphones next week. Just kidding, darling. Hey, gang. I'm Mac Newton. This has been the Power Hour. Peace. 3, 2, 1. Mac Daddy is out.